This is Brother Billy. I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray the Word of God is going to bless you today. If you look with us into the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 14 is the inspiration scene. We're going to begin here and read some things I think God would have us to see. You know, it seems as though the mission of the church has been lost in our hour. We've turned into a church oftentimes, not every time, but so many times we turn into the church that entertains and the church that does things to be all things to all people. And maybe that's not all bad altogether, but I tell you, I think it sometimes causes us to lose the mission. It's not to see how many get-togethers or meetings we have, but it's to see how we can get the gospel out and to reach the lost. And Jesus was a great example of that in the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. So we're going to begin reading here as he spake a parable. And Jesus was a great teacher, preacher. You know, we need teaching, preaching. We need preaching, teaching too. And so sometimes people think, well, they're one and the same, but they're not. I can preach the gospel and not teach the gospel. Or maybe I can do both. And that's true for every preacher. And so it's two different callings. It's two different gifts. And we find the five gifts of ministry in Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, teachers, and pastors. As God gave those, he gave those for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, under the knowledge of the Son of God, under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. And so this is what he's talking about in Ephesians 4. So the fivefold ministry gift, we find it here. We see it. Let me get everything stopped. In the fivefold ministry gift, we watch this as Jesus was a great example of that. Not only did he preach, but he taught. He evangelized. He reached. He prophesied. And we don't all have the same gifts. That's not the important part. The important part is that we know what our gift is and we utilize it. And so Jesus was talking about being bidden unto a wedding in the 14th chapter, the 7th verse. You know, as they're taking him to task again about what he'd done on the Sabbath day. You know, we were talking about this the other day, and it happened so much. They were always taking Jesus to task. You know, you did this on the Sabbath. You healed one on the Sabbath. Your disciples plucked corn on the Sabbath. You know, them disciples were like we are. I don't know about you, but it's getting earing time. And those roasting ears are about to be ready. And, you know, I like them right off the stalk, don't you? I like to pull them off the stalk, shuck them. I don't even have to wash them. Unless there's something wrong with them, I can just silk them and have a two or three ears right there. I tell you, it's good for what ails you. And so it's good to you. And the disciples did that. They come through. We know that it was sometime around our earing time. Matter of fact, if you want to study this out sometime, you will find that the culture, or pardon me, the culture, yes, but the geographic location, too, that produced the culture is much of the same as what we have here in South Alabama. And matter of fact, if you'll find it, if you'll watch it and go around the globe on the parallel line, latitude, longitude, I get them mixed up. But whichever one it is, it determines how far north and south you are. Now, some of you know that by heart, and some of you, it won't mean anything to you. But I just have to watch it north and south. If you'll do that, you'll find that Jerusalem was somewhere very near to the parallel of Greenville and Troy. That's amazing. And as far as Jesus walked, that we know about, was to his hometown, Capernaum, and the towns that were around the Sea of Galilee, which would be up and around Calera, Chilton County, just south of Birmingham. So maybe you're on the road today and you're coming down 65, 231, whatever be the case. Jesus traveled what would be, if he lived in Alabama, it would be from Greenville to Troy, you know, that line there, northward to the Chilton County area. And so it's not a long way. If you walk it, it's a long way. But we find that it really amazes us. Now, what brought this up was years ago, I was wondering why they had figs in Israel. We have figs in South Alabama. My dad lived in Tennessee at that time, and he always wanted my figs. He didn't have any. I thought, well, why don't they have figs? Too cold. Well, bless God, they got figs in Israel. And so when I follow that line across the globe, we're pretty much on the same north and south structure as the land of Israel, right where Jesus was. And it was amazing how that Jerusalem would be equivalent to Troy, Greenville, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And so we find it here that Jesus always had to deal with them. So their roasting ears come off probably about the same time ours do. And so as he's dealing with them, let's get back to the point. That's a side note, but let's get back to the point. I thought that was very interesting to find out. Most of you probably won't care. But here we see it in the 7th verse. He put forth a parable to those that were bidden. Bidden where? Bidden to the wedding. How they chose out of them chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit down not in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And so he's talking about this. And it brings up the subject that we're going to get into in the 12th verse. He said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. And so that propels him into the 13th verse. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. This is Jesus' words. And thou shalt be blessed. And the point that he's making here is call those that can't repay you. Call those that they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Jesus said you'll get your reward, but don't do what you do for your reward here. If you do it for your reward here, then that's all the reward. But do those things to those people. Reach those people that can't repay you, that can't reach themselves, that can't help themselves. Reach those, the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. That's what he said. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard of these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that should eat bread in the kingdom of God. This forwards us to the 16th verse, the 14th chapter of the book of Luke. Then he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I'm glad that Jesus understood when supper time was. He made a great supper, and they all with one consent. Now here's where America is today. Here's where some of you are today. What's he talking about? He's talking about the call of Christ. He's talking about those that God has placed in a place of reaching people. And if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you've been called to reach people. Our mission's to reach people. The job of the church to reach people. The radio broadcast to reach people. And so personal evangelism is to reach those. And here's what he said about them. As they went, they all, with one consent, began to make an excuse. You said, preacher, I would invite people, but they won't come. Well, they wouldn't come to Jesus' supper either. Don't be alarmed by that. Don't let that upset you. Don't let that upend you. Don't let it alarm you. They wouldn't come to Jesus' supper either. It's what he's talking about. He's speaking this. A certain man made a great supper. I'm going to tell you, that marriage supper of the Lamb, there is no greater supper than that supper. We read about it in Revelation 19. Where Jesus is going to gird himself, according to John 13. He's going to gird himself about, and he is going to wait upon his church. He is going to minister to them. He is going to wait them. He is going to gird himself about. It's what he done. That was a picture of that at the Last Supper. It was a picture of Revelation 19. And so we see it here. They all with one consent began to make excuse and said unto him, here's what they said. Now watch what they said and compare it to what people say today. They said, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Lord, I've got some important things to do. And you know, it's the call of Christ here we're comparing this to. This is the parable Jesus is speaking. He is speaking to those that are taking him to task about what he'd done right on the Sabbath day. Let's understand what Jesus said in Matthew 12. God made Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. We are not Sabbath day keepers. Paul said, let no man judge you in Colossians chapter 2 concerning new moons or holy days or Sabbath days. Let no man judge you concerning that. And so God made Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. But this is what happens. This is where we think so many times people get religious. And they don't seek out the truth. And I understand young Christians, this can happen to them very easily. I get that. But we have to keep reading and keep understanding and be around some godly men that will help us understand this. Godly women too. That will help us understand God did not create the Sabbath the man for Sabbath. So here, they're taking him to task about what he done right. I'm going to tell you, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And so Jesus, we're not Sabbath day keepers anyway in the New Testament church. Let's understand that. But here, I'm pointing out, these are the people that are taking Christ to task, and he is relating them as to those that can't come to the marriage supper. He said, you know, you do all of these things, but then when the call of God comes to your life, you're too religious to come. Or you're too burdened down or too earthly or too worldly or too fit for nothing. Here's what he said. They all with one consent began to make excuse. And they said, I've bought a piece of ground and must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee have me excused. He said, Lord, he said, you know, I found the prettiest pair of oxen. And not only when I got there, wasn't one pair, he had 5 and got them at such a deal. And boy, they was fine creatures. I just bought all 5 of them. And I think I'm going to go prove them. I'm going to just see how good they are. And if you don't mind, have me excused. Just take my name off your list, Lord. Well, that's what the fellow said. Bought a piece of ground. He said, got a property now. And he said, I need to go spend some time there and have me excused. And so watch the next one. The next one, he said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so he wanted to be excused too. Jesus is pointing out the things that stop people from hearing the call of God. The things that stop them from coming to Christ. The things that interfere, you know, you could relate that today. What is it that's stopping you from coming to Christ? What is it that's hindering your relationship with the Lord? What is it that's keeping you from being the faithful follower of the Lord Jesus, in love with him, saved by him, owned by him, a servant of him? What is that? And so that servant came, verse 21, and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant. Now Jesus is taking this parable to prove the point that he just made. You know, this is why not many honorable, not many wealthy, this is why not many noble, not many mighty, not many wise are called. Paul dealt with this, and he explained why. This world's elite normally don't come. They're too busy. They're too occupied. They're too trusting in other things. They're not looking for the Lord. They're not interested in the Lord. They're busy, 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 and got a lot of things to do that don't amount to nothing in eternal matters, but they still think they got to do them. And so they come and said, Lord, I'm going to tell you. So this fellow, he married a wife, can't come. This one over here bought 5 yoke of oxen. He said, no. And the other one said, I bought some property and got to go see about that. He said, no. And the word said that the master of the house being angry. Now, people think, you know, Jesus is a sweet little fellow. You can't anger him. But we know better than that. 2 times we find it where Jesus made a whip of small cords, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers right there in the temple, and he drove them all out. And I tell you, he done it fiercely, brother. He was not swinging for a show. He was swinging to get them out of God's house. And he said, it's written that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And twice Jesus did that. He did that in Luke 21. He did that in John chapter 2. And so you'll find it, John 2's in the early part of his ministry. And Luke 21 is when he come to Jerusalem before Palm Sunday, or there at the time of Palm Sunday, he ran them out. And so he was well acquainted with anger. You know, righteous indignation is not wrong. And Jesus was angered, and here he's talking about in this parable that the master of the house, the word said, being angry, said to his servant. And so how long will Christ accept our rejection of the gospel? How long will Christ's invitation carry over until the time when we're not invited anymore? See, the invitation went out every time God deals with you about the gospel, about repentance, about being saved, about being born again. You say, well, every time I hear something, it sounds like money. Christ is not interested in your money. He's not interested in your 401k, IRA, 403b, or anything else. He is interested in you. He's interested in the soul of every man, woman, boy, girl being saved. It's why he went to the cross. Now, what your old hard heart might hear, you might hear money. Those fellows might have heard he wants my oxen. Those fellows might have heard he wants, you know, my property. No, Jesus wants you. And so all of these things that we say I can't because is really not the cause anyway. And so here he's angered by this. And how many times will the invitation come? How many times, sir, will Christ ever invite you to the King of Glory to be saved by the marvelous grace of God to be redeemed and spend eternity in heaven again? How many times will that happen? It could be that it only happens once more. It could be this is the last call. It could be 10 more, 20 more. It could be no more. And so we find it here that Jesus was angry. He's speaking in the parable. But being angry, he said to his servant, he said, go out quickly. He said, make no haste. What Christ is saying, he's saying, I'm going to have people at the marriage supper of the Lamb. People are going to be there. You know what people today say? They say, well, you know, I want to come. You know, they sing songs about I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go now. And, you know, there ain't a lot of wisdom in that song. They sing songs about making light of heaven, and they make and compare heaven, you know, to something of this world. And there's no comparison. Jesus will have those at the marriage table. Jesus will have those at the marriage supper. When that feast, when Christ receives his bride, the church, there will be those there. And just as he said, go out quickly, you know how Christ is going to come? He's going to come quickly. And he's going to receive his church quickly. And the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He said, go out quickly. I'm going to flip over a little bit because I think it's worthwhile to read this marriage supper, what Christ is comparing this to. We'll find it right here in Revelation 19 of the first few verses. I think it'll begin in verse 4. But in Revelation 19, we see it here. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, Christ. Why come? For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, you know who the wife of Christ is? The bride of Christ is the church. The wife of God is Israel. And so the wife hath made herself ready. Thank God that's when the church has been caught up together with those that slept, with those, with the Lord, and to her was granted, to the bride, every saved woman, boy, girl, man, woman, boy, girl, every saved person is going to receive that fine linen. We are part of the church, the bride of Christ, clean and white. For the fine linen, see this now, is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. See it again. Now I want to read it again. Verse 9. He said, write these things. They're important things, John. Write them down. Thank God, I'm glad we've got the holy writ of God, the writings of God, that John was the obedient servant and he wrote what God told him, and God gave him 5 books of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Revelation, and the Gospel of St. John. And so here, when he said write it, thank God John was old, and maybe he had writer's cramp, I don't know, but he wrote it. That's all that mattered, he wrote it. Right there on the Isle of Patmos, and thank God God gave him something to write with and something to write on, because he said write it. You say, well, he didn't have nothing. They exiled him because they wanted to persecute him. That's right, but when God said write it, he wrote it. And the word said, blessed are they which are called. You know what happened? These people were invited. They were called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. When God extends his arm of invitation to you, that is a calling, sir. Ma'am, when God reaches out to you and says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that is a calling. And so he bid them to his supper. This is what salvation is. Christ is bidding you not only to be saved, but unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Christ is calling you when you hear the word of God preached, when you hear that God uses to deal with you, when you are engaged by the Spirit of the Lord God and confronted with your lost condition and spoke to about the hardness of your heart concerning Christ. When God calls you and he says, come. He says, come, receive of my goodness, receive of my free grace, be saved today. When that comes, that's a holy call. It's a precious call. For these are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's not to be taken lightly. This is what Jesus is comparing this to in Luke 14. And so it's not to be blown off. It's not to say, I got something to do. I got to go to the flower shop. Got to go to the hardware. No, it's the call of God. And the call of God only comes when the call of God is sent. And so I'm going to show you this. When this servant come back and he said, Master, he said, I invited them, but you know they all had something else going on. And I'm kind of ashamed to tell you, you know, maybe I didn't do a good job. Sometimes people think, well, if I heard the gospel better, you know, I'd get saved then. No, you won't. You can hear the gospel in the simplest form. You can hear the gospel from the same person. You may hear it one time and it never affects you. The next time it affects you. You know why? Because the gospel of God goes forward. And it's not that it goes out with flamboyancy. It's not that it goes out to impress you. This broadcast will never impress you, but thank God it might reach you. And so this servant went out, and I don't know anything about his delivery. The Bible don't say. It says he bit them to the supper, and they said, fella, you know, go back where you come from. We got more better things to do. And so here we find it right here, see it right here in this 21st verse. Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Go out quick. Get out there, son. Go out and get the word of God out and invite them. Watch now. What's the call of God to the church? To go into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor. Watch now. Don't go to the elite. Nuh-uh. Go to the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Those that can't walk right. Those that can't see anything. Those that can't buy anything. They're too poor. Those that can't do anything because they're maimed. Remember we were preaching about the woman that was bowed over for 18 years and Jesus loosed her of her infirmity. And so watch now here. The servant said, Lord, it is done. It is done. God help us to do the work of God and say it is done. You know, we ought to be able to say, as Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. We ought to run our race. Paul said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Watch it here. And so he said, Lord, it's done as thou commanded, and yet there is room. There's still room left. Thank God there's still room for you. I'm glad there was still room for me on the third night of May 1987 when God gloriously saved me by his grace. I'm glad there was yet room, aren't you? You know, I don't know where you are today. You said, preacher, I've probably sinned away my day of grace. If you hear the word of God today and the Spirit of God's drawing you, you haven't. There's yet room. There's yet room for you. And this is what he said, Lord, yet there's room. He said, we've done it like you said. We've got the gospel out. The invitations went forward. But there's still room. That's what Jesus said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And here the Lord said unto the servant, I love this 23rd verse, because the 23rd verse is what we're doing today. He said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I'm going to tell you, there's not going to be any empty chairs at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everybody that needs to be there is going to be there. Everybody that receives God's call is going to be there. And so the marriage table, the marriage lamp, he said, I want my house filled. I don't want empty chairs. I don't want empty couches. I don't want empty spots. I want people to be there. I'm going to tell you, God's going to have a people. He's going to have a people at the marriage supper. He's going to have a people that will represent him, a people that will obey him. And here he said, go into the highways and the hedges. He said, boys, get out there and shake the bushes. And listen, go down the road and get them to God. Get them to Christ. You know what this gospel, this radio broadcast is about? It is about getting the word of God into the highways and the hedges and compelling people to come to Christ. That's all it's about. Getting the word of God out, getting it to that poor little lady that lives in her cabin or her house, her very modest fare, and she don't have anybody to see about her, but thank God she's got a radio and she can hear the word of God, and God can minister to her out there on the backside somewhere down in the river bottom, and everybody's forgot about her but Christ. And it's for those that travel up and down the highway, back into the workplace, the home, to the vacation spot, whatever that is, getting the word of God out. The gospel call is to go into the highways. We want to do that. But thank God we want to get it in the hedges too. We want to get it in the woods. We want to get it where people think they've been forgotten. But God's not forgot them. God's not forgot about them. Christ wants to reach them. He said, go to the highways, go to the hedges, and compel them. Thank God the gospel message has to be seasoned with salt. Jesus said, if the salt's lost its savor, it's henceforth fit for nothing. And so we got to season the word of God with salt. We need a salty gospel, a salty message. We need the fire of the Spirit of God in our preaching, and we need a word that will go out and penetrate the hardest heart and prick them. The word said in Acts 2:37, they were pricked to the heart. That's the job of the gospel. Jesus said, go and compel them. He said, reach them. Don't just send out some little old bland mamby-pamby invitation. He said, reach them with the gospel call and compel them to come in. That's the job. That's the job God's given us. That's the job God's given you. And so we need a salty gospel. And so we need barbed wire and razor blades in our preaching. The word of God, this is very biblical, by the way. Hebrews 4:12 said the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sun of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the word of God is. If we'll take the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, or right in there real close, between 6:10 and 18, where he's talking about the whole armor, he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so the word is compared to the sword. It's the sword that pricks. It's the two-edged sword of Hebrews 4:12 that cuts. And so that's what we mean when we say we need barbed wire and razor blades in our preaching, a salty gospel that will reach the hardest heart and compel them. He said, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Watch now. The last point I want you to see is in verse 24. I told you God's going to have a people. God will have a remnant. God will have a church. He will not have an empty chair at the marriage supper. There's not going to be one plate, one fork, one spoon that somebody don't need it. You can rest assured. And so what's that mean? That means the invitation's to you. But it doesn't mean that everybody will come. Now this ought to scare you a little bit. This ought to startle you a little bit, because verse 24 makes it very clear. For I say unto you, that if you got a red letter Bible, it's in red. It's Jesus' words. It's not this preacher's words. It's not some other apostle somewhere or somebody else said. No, it's the red letter words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus always spoke with authority. I love it, but this is what they could not stand about Christ. He preached with authority. And they said this, that he teaches one has authority and not as the scribes. They said he ain't like them scribes. Them scribes kind of weak, mealy mouth. No, this man speaks with authority. It's what they're talking about. Jesus said about him, even the devils knew when Jesus walked in the room, and they began to ask the Lord, give us leave and let us go over here. That's what they done in Gadara, Mark chapter 5. And Jesus said, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, none of them. How many of them? He said, none of them that were bidden shall taste of my supper. What's going to happen to those that rejects God's call? They will not receive of God's blessing. They will not receive eternal life. They will not taste of his supper. They will have no invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They will have no garments of white, fine and clean, which is the righteousness of the saints. They will not go. They will not go. What's going to happen to men and women today? Men and women today that reject God's call and die lost, die without Christ. You said, preacher, I've rejected him before, but I don't want to reject him anymore. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Receive him today. Receive him now. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:6 said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. Woe unto him. I like this place, don't you? Over in Isaiah 45:9, where he said, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. He's saying, quit fighting against God and resisting God and rebelling against God and come to Christ. Why? Because none of those that miss Christ are going to take to his supper. But all of those that receive Christ is going to have a part. All of those that receive Christ is going to have a place. All of those that receive Christ is going to have a chair. And thank God, this is what we want. This is the call of Christ, is to receive his blessings. And he wants you to receive them today, not tomorrow. He wants you to receive them today. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to come in today. He wants you to know him today. Father, I pray you take the word of God. I pray you'll take the invitation, Lord, that you send out to every person. I don't know where they are, what they're doing. Maybe they're going to church this morning, but they're not saved. So many today attend church, but they're not saved. They know they're not saved. They're like I was. I knew when I got saved, and I knew when I wasn't saved. I pray today, God, you would receive those, Lord. I pray you'd extend your arm of mercy, your great hand of grace. I pray, God, you'd reach the hardest heart. Father, maybe it's someone that's traveling. Maybe it's someone that's just out of town, they're passing through. Lord, so many different places that come our way. All the northern states, so many places, God, across this great United States will be in the sound of this broadcast. I pray your word will reach them. I pray, God, you'll save them. I pray you'll save the one, Lord. God, that hears it on a week-to-week basis, but they're not in. Lord, they've never received God's invitation. I pray you'll save them. God, minister now. Lord, touch us, use us, put your hand upon us. Bless God, that one that's nearest hell. Save them today. Reach, I pray. Encourage your people. God, that one that's disheartened, I pray you'll encourage them. Do it right now through your preached word. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen and amen.